Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland. Billy Brim is back with us today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, and you don't want to miss any of these broadcasts. Welcome, Billy.
Thank you, Gloria. And this week we're starting out with, in the next 2 weeks, we got a wide gamut to go. But everything is going to center on the spirit realm. And the fact that we're spirits.
Yes.
Brother Hagin often said that he would like Kenneth E. Hagin to teach a course called Spiritology at Rhema. And he did. The things of the spirit are is the reality.
Oh, didn't that make a difference in your life?
I'm just going to start with that, Gloria. You're reading my mind.
Oh, okay. I'll be quiet.
I'm telling you right now. hey, listen to this.
You understand things.
There you got it. You're saying the first paragraph here.
Okay, let's
we must be on the Holy Ghost line.
Okay, we got it.
And this book right here is Brother Kenneth E. Hagin's Faith Food Devotions. I worked for him for 10 years as the editor of publications, and the Lord said to me on the inside in my spirit one day, I want you to take all of Brother Hagin's teachings. He had different teachings. He had on how you can be led by the Spirit of God. He had on spirit, soul, and body. He had on new creation. Yeah. He had on the name of Jesus.
That was our Bible school.
Yes, and that was our Bible school. And each one of these, the Holy Spirit, baptism with the Holy Spirit. So the Lord said, you take them and you put them in bite-sized pieces and make a confession with them each day and put them in a book, 366 lessons in here, a little bite-sized pieces. So I did that. And I started with the spring months and summer, and I'm reading to you today from June 9, and the spirit, the verse for today is 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Then Brother Hagin starts with what you just now said.
And that is the correct way to say it. It's
yes.
Not soul and spirit. It's spirit,
soul and body. It's not body, soul, and spirit. Some
no.
people say body, soul, and spirit.
Yeah.
And it's not. You say it like the Bible says it. You try to do everything like the Bible
That's
says it.
That's right.
Spirit, soul, and body.
You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body.
That's it.
That's Brother Hagin's.
You're quoting
saying,
it. I'm getting
it?
Ready to read it right
okay,
here.
Okay, read it.
And just what she started with, you remember what she said at the first, it makes a difference? Here's his first paragraph. It will help your spiritual growth
yes.
immeasurably to know the difference between your spirit and your soul.
That's right.
Many people believe that spirit and soul are the same thing. Even preachers believe this. They preach about the soul as if it were the spirit. But they can't be the same thing.
No.
It would be just as scriptural to say that the body and soul are the same as it would be to say that the spirit and the soul are the same.
Just as unscriptural.
But Hebrews 4:12 says that by the word of God, soul and spirit can be divided.
Yeah, that's right. That's
now I'm going to read you that scripture right
where
here.
Is that?
Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God
mm-hmm.
is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword.
Dividing.
Piercing even to the dividing asunder of what?
Soul and spirit.
Soul and spirit. So the word of God.
That makes it plain. You can't
makes it plain.
That.
The soul is not the spirit. The spirit is not the soul. And the word of God is that shows you which is which. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord.
That's right.
And the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Amen.
We're going to be talking a lot about the heart, about the spirit of man. To help you understand the three dimensions of man, Brother Hagin says, go through this process of elimination. With my body, I contact the physical realm. I pick up this cup of coffee. With my body, I drink it. With my spirit, I contact the spiritual realm.
Yes.
I contact God. With my soul, I contact the intellectual and emotional realms. Man is a spirit. The spirit is the part of man that knows God. Mm-hmm. Man possesses a soul, the intellect, the sensibilities, the will, the emotions, and man lives in a body. Bless the Lord. Spirit, soul,
that
and body.
That is called the tent.
Yeah, the tent. This is our tent, our tabernacle that we live in, our house. And the Bible always calls it that. It doesn't call it us. We are the spirit. Now, when you have this understanding.
Oh, it made a difference.
It makes a difference in everything, Gloria. When I was a little kid, I had these two sides of my family. One of us, the side I was in, and we went to church, to the Baptist church. And on the other side, it was Pentecostal. And we eventually came around to that side. But there were parts of either that, you know, neither was perfect. And with the Baptist, we had this idea, it was just ingrained in us, once saved, always saved. If you're born again, you're born again. And on the other side of my family, there was this, not so much in my family as in the church they attended.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like one slip and you're out. I mean, one miss.
Curtains.
You're out and you got to make it back to the altar just in case, you know, Jesus
so you
would come
get
that
born
night.
Over again.
You had to go back to the altar. And I remember, now this wasn't the Pentecostal side, this was the Nazarene side, but still kind of was there. And my grandmother, she would say, "What if Jesus comes when you're in a picture show?" So we lived in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and our picture show, we had one picture show, movie house, movie, and the bathrooms were down front by the screen. And here was the women's bathroom, there was the men's bathroom. I'd always go in there. I remember what Grandma said. I'd go down there to the women's bathroom every time I went to the movie. And I would pray, "Please don't come while I'm in the movie. Thank you."
I don't think I've ever heard that story before.
Yes.
But you went to
but
anyway.
I did.
You were certain you could
and
get forgiveness.
I was certain. Think of the power in that prayer. He never did come during any movies I went to. So then I remember, you know, I hear this one side over here. Once saved, always saved. I hear this one side over here. You know, it's what you do. I mean to tell you,
this
it's what
you do. It depends on what you do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So.
After your.
In the fourth grade at Coweta Elementary School, the Gideons came and passed out little red Bibles. And in those little red Bibles, I went and looked up this scripture, Philippians 2:12, because that's one of the ones I heard on the other side that, I mean, if you're out, you're out. And I mean, if you miss it, if you fall, you know, you're out. So anyway, Philippians 2:12, this is one of the scriptures that they used. "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling," is how that verse ends. Work out your own salvation. So as I said, you got to work out your own salvation.
So it wasn't instant, you found.
You had to
do something.
I mean, you did.
You had to grow up.
So anyway, you had to work it out on this one side. It's what you do. It's what you work. It's what you do.
I see.
So, and not so much my own grandparents or not so much the early Pentecostal people. It's what it derived into, you know. After a while, if the devil can't lick the church, he'll join it. So it's kind of what it got into. So I wanted to know about this verse. And it was a different translation of the Bible. We weren't so used to different translations of the Bible when I was in the fourth grade. But I do not remember what translation it was, but I'm telling you, it set me free. I read that and it said, and I've written right here down my Bible what it said.
Your translation you don't remember as well.
I don't remember which one it was. And it said, "Cultivate your own salvation." Cultivate it. Oh, that makes sense to me. You cultivate a garden. You know,
you work on it,
but it was planted already. So then when I came to work with Kenneth E. Hagin, one of the things that gave me the foundation of his teaching was this very one. Man is a spirit.
Yeah.
He has a soul and he lives in a body. You get born again, the life and the nature of God goes in you, in your spirit, but you're a baby. Then you have to feed the sincere milk of the Word, desire the sincere. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. So you take the milk of the Word and you begin to grow. You take the milk of the Word and you begin to grow. And what happens to a lot of Christians is they don't grow. And in our offer, one of our books is Growing Up Spiritually. And the spirit of man, the absolute epitome of Christian life, is that the spirit of man, the inner man, grows up and dominates your being. And your emotions are subservient to your spirit. They're not running wild away with you and you're up and down like a roller coaster. And your spirit, which is taught on the Word of God and ate the Word of God and grew on the Word of God, it learns to your intellect. It'll weigh it, you know. Well, somebody said out here in the intellectual realm this. Well, the spirit says no, the Word says this.
Yeah.
Your mind, your will, and your emotions then come under the rule of your spirit. Now, Paul called people who were ruled by their bodies carnal.
Yes, sir.
He said, you're carnal. You're just little baby Christians.
You don't know.
Now, I'll tell you how this will settle and help you. There was a couple, very powerful evangelists, very powerful. And I've seen this, Gloria, that if the devil cannot get to the heads of the ministries, he'll go after their children. And the devil is not omnipresent like God. God's omnipresent. He's every place at once. But Satan, he only can be in one place at a time, the guy himself.
Yeah.
So he doesn't bother with most folks. But he spends his time, quote unquote, with presidents and kings and heads of ministries and influential people. So if he cannot sometimes get to the head of a ministry, if he can't get to the head of a ministry, he'll hit maybe their children. Well, this very wonderful ministers, their son, Satan got to him early and got him into all kinds of sin, one of which was alcoholism. And he died probably in his 30s. The son did. And, but I knew something about that son that they didn't know. And, in their thinking, he has gone to hell. But I knew a pastor of a church that was not far away, maybe 15, 20 miles. And he told me how that son came all the time to him.
Praise God.
And he would put up tent meetings, the pastor would, out in the yard. And that son would come by and say, what can I do? I want to work for Jesus. He'd help him set up chairs. He'd help him set up the sound system, which he'd learned in his youth. And he did everything he could to help. But he did never win over. His spirit didn't rule his body. But his spirit wasn't lost.
But he was born again.
He was born again. His spirit wasn't lost. His body had gotten under the power and influence of alcohol, and he never was able to break that addiction. Now, he could have. He could have grown up spiritually.
That's right.
But even what he heard of the gospel kind of told him, it's what you do. And he himself got to thinking, I'm not winning over this alcoholic spirit, so I must be lost. Mm. So he himself was mixed up. Yep. We had out in our neighborhood a man that lived not far from us in the Ozarks, Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, recently. And he was probably what you would call a survivalist. And he lived way out in the woods, like we're way out in the woods.
Stored up food.
Yeah. And he built weapons, big weapons. I mean, big time weapons. Guns that went boom, 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 and scared our prayers. And so we went to the commission, you know, and we tried to get that changed. And there were times when we were at odds. But my son, Terry, just loved him. And he got drunk one night.
Who, your son?
No, not my son. Not my son.
I knew that.
He got drunk one night and he stole a backhoe from the county. A backhoe. Could you imagine a great big old thing? How could you hide it? How could you steal it? He was drunk. So he got drunk and they were threatening.
A drunk on a backhoe. That's the new story.
Yeah. And they were threatening to put him away in prison, and it just scared him. Well, my son Terry started going over there, and he got him born again.
Praise God.
Born again.
Thank you, Jesus.
I mean to tell you, everything changed inside him. He loved us then.
His spirit was saved.
And he was just a different person.
That's called a new creature.
The new creature.
In the Bible.
So he called my son, Terry, and he said, you know, I need a letter of recommendation. I don't want them to put me away. I'm scared of going to prison. Would you write me a letter? And he wrote the letter. And in the letter, Terry said what a good neighbor he had been for, like, I don't know how long he's been saved now, 6 months. So Terry told him, he said, but he called Terry one day, my son, and he said, you know, I'm scared. I'm so fearful of going into prison. And he didn't drink anymore.
Praise God.
But he said, and Terry said, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need the power of God. And he said, something is telling me to kill myself. Oh. And Terry said, you don't listen to that.
No.
He said, you need the power of the Holy Spirit in you. He said, now next Sunday, we meet out at Prayer Mountain 3:00 every Sunday afternoon, and we have a streamed live noon prayer meeting every Wednesday. So Terry, my son, said, you're going to come over here next Sunday, and we're going to pray with you, and you're going to be baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. Then you'll have the power of God in you
yes,
to withstand. You have to talk to that demon that's come. That demon come and said, talk to your mind. So Terry went over on Sunday morning to pick him up. And when he got over there, there were cars all around. He had shot himself. He was dead.
Oh.
So Terry went in there and he had the letter. And in the letter, you know, he had written what a good man he was. Later on, that letter got read at the funeral. Mm-hmm. But this man had a son, you know, like in his 20s, and a wife, and people all around that didn't know the Lord. And Terry starts talking to him, my son. And he said, Terry's in heaven. His name was Terry. He's in heaven. He's born again. His spirit was born of God. It didn't have time to grow. It didn't have time to be empowered.
A baby Christian.
He was a baby, but he was a Christian. Now, sometimes that happens with suicide cases. You have to learn to discern, divide between the spirit and divide between the soul. And so you can, Terry's mind wasn't renewed with the word. Sometimes a mind gets sick, you know, mm-hmm. But you don't, if you died of, let's say, cancer of the stomach, that's in your body, it's not in your spirit, and your spirit goes straight to heaven. So something happens that you die of a condition of the soul, like your emotions go bonkers and you listen to the devil and you shoot yourself, if your spirit has truly been born again,
yeah,
then you will go with the Lord.
To be absent from the body.
To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
So to be absent is to be present.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Now listen to this scripture. Listen to this scripture. Understanding spirit, soul, and body will straighten out a lot of things for you.
That's right. It'll get rid of the fear of death for one thing.
Now listen to this. This is James. And we're going to start with verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Begat means he's the father of us.
Born.
We're born of him. Of his own will, the father, it's talking about the father of lights. We might go back up another verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will, the Father's will, begat he us. He planted his seed in you, Gloria, in me. All of us who are born again, we have the seed of the Father in us. And we're born of the truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, his creations,
yes,
his new creations. But then go down to verse 21. Wherefore, now you're born again. You're born again. Lay apart all filthiness.
This is what our job
and
is.
Superfluity of naughtiness in your life, and receive with meekness the engrafted word that is able to do what?
Save your
souls. When you're born again, you're saved. Yeah. Your spirit's saved, but your soul is not.
Mind, your will, and emotions.
Yeah, your mind, soul. Will, and emotion. They're not. They have to be saved. They have to be what Romans says. They have to be renewed.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take that mind and renew it with the Word
of
God.
The truth.
And how is it going to be renewed? What is going to save my soul? What is going to bring my soul? Here the word means wholeness. What is going to bring my mind into wholeness so that I'm not a basket case? So that I'm not an emotional... Mm-hmm. I know Christians that are basket cases.
Yeah.
Emotional...
Born again.
Yeah, born again.
Some spirit filled.
Yes. So if you will meditate on the word, and then you renew your mind and you save your soul. These people right here, they're not going to go to hell if they die. They've been got the word of truth right in them. They're born of it. Now you're going to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. So in the process, after you're born again, your soul is in the process of being saved.
It's also called renewing your mind.
Renewing your mind with the word.
Get rid of that old stuff.
The word brings you into wholeness. The word moves out the darkness.
That's right.
The word causes you to think God's thoughts like
Him. The word going in your eyes and your ears, getting down in your heart where it talks to you, it changes everything to the good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now look what it says right after that.
Victory.
Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word.
Amen.
And not hearers only.
Hallelujah.
Deceiving your own selves. So when you receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls, then you can do it. You do the word.
You walk in it.
You
walk
in the
light, as He's in the light.
You walk in the word.
Yeah.
You do in the word. You make your hands the hands of God. You lay hands on the sick.
You
then your body comes into effect.
You stay in the Word and you keep walking on it and learning and growing. You grow. You grow up
spiritually.
Billy and I'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.